you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find us, maybe you too can listen to the Laughing Place podcast.
It's funny, because I was convicted of a crime I didn't commit.
Hello and welcome to the January 10th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. My name is B.A. Brackett. The B.A. stands for Bad Attitude, because we are a Disney podcast. Joining me today are Face.
Hey.
Murdoch.
Ah! I'm mad. I'm mad dog.
And I didn't watch the show enough to know a female character, so I'll just say Rebecca.
Yeah, they had Amy or Tanya. You could make your pick.
You can be Amy or Tanya.
Okay. Thank
you. Don't you just love it when a plan comes together?
Podcast, laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. And for our first-time listeners, I will say...
Now you know how to find us.
My real name is Doobie. It really wasn't that hard. My real name is Doobie. We have Captain John say hello.
Yar, ahoy.
My real name is Fanboy.
And Rebecca is still Rebecca.
Yep, that would be me.
I love how when we gave our real names, only one of them actually is our real name. My parents weren't that mean.
Doobie and Rebecca.
No,
Doobie's
that's
not your real name.
Oh, fine. Eugene. My name is Eugene.
Ooh.
Wow.
Don't ever call me that. Don't make me angry.
It was very funny when we sent out our wedding invitations and your sister was like, oh, yeah, your name's Eugene.
Yeah, trust me. It's not like Doobie's some stage nickname. Nobody calls me Doobie, from parents to teachers. No. Unless it's legal.
The only people that call you that are the servers when they bring you back your credit card.
Exactly. Oh, thank you, Eugene. Who?
Apparently,
and Happy wants to be heard,
in.
Too. As I said, podcast.laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Let us know what's on your mind. We're excited to get started this week with the biggest story to come out of Disney since, oh, I don't know when. This was huge. This was cover of Yahoo huge. This
Yahoo!
I'm still getting this in my Google alerts every day.
Google!
Is there a bigger story in all of news, save for maybe the New Hampshire primary, than Victoria and Albert's deciding not to allow children to come? I don't think so.
No.
It would
there was they did announce like Cher's going to have a new reality show. That was also top of ABCnews.com this week.
Really?
Yeah, yep. Apparently.
I'm excited. Yep. No, I'm not really.
Cher, did she do anything Disney?
If I could turn back time, she would not exist.
Really?
No, he's not a Cher fan.
Well, I wonder where that audio animatronic figure is.
Oh, that's right. They have that over at
It's funny because you can't tell which one's more plastic.
Oh, that's harsh.
Although I am a big fan of Sonny. Well, Sonny Bono, Copyright Extension Act, lets us keep Mickey for another 20 years.
I knew there was a reason for that.
Oh, yeah, very important to Disney history.
Anyway, back to Vic and Al, my favorite restaurant that I've never been to. What do you guys think? Is this a big deal or is this a bunch of overblown junk?
Overblown junk.
Wow, this is perhaps the biggest overblown story of the year since they decided to rehab It's a Small World.
Oh, that's right. We had that brouhaha for a while.
Overblown by you in particular.
I just don't get the debate, and yet there certainly is a debate. How many restaurants are there in Disney? A couple hundred, I think, maybe. And there is one that doesn't allow adults.
That doesn't allow adults?
Yeah, and that would be a Goofy's Bounce House restaurant. And now there's one that doesn't allow children. And what I thought was funny is, in thinking about it, the Disney theme parks division, anyway, has had two restaurants that don't allow adults for years, and I don't think anyone's ever complained, and that would be the Disney Cruise Line with Palo, and they have far fewer choices for the children to go to with, you know, you get your one restaurant and your buffet or whatever.
And their definition of a child is much more...
Exactly. I think, what is it? It's
16. 18.
18.
Is it 18?
Yeah.
I thought it was 16, but okay.
So...
Whereas this is 10. No, this is...
10.
10.
10? Are you sure? I thought it was...
10.
I think it's 10. I think it's what it's the paying... I think it's the same thing as a ticket.
Okay.
A ticket requirements.
What I think is odd is, you know, you got PI, which is probably a bigger deal than this, except they finally codified a policy that I'm pretty sure, I think the only reason they need to do it is because back in the day, no one would bring a 9-year-old to Victoria and Albert.
That's what it seems like, is if people just did what was sensible, this never would have had to have gotten put on paper. And from what I read, the food and beverage person at Disney World said that only about three per month came into the restaurant. So this obviously isn't going to affect very many people.
Do you remember when they announced Disney's Pleasure Island, did that create a lot of controversy? I mean, was there a lot of controversy with that?
Yeah, I mean,
I figured there was.
Back in the day, Pleasure Island had different if you worked at Pleasure Island, you actually wore a different name tag, and the security had a different look to kind of separate it. Obviously, it was Disney, but it was they really wanted to differentiate. There was no character presence at all, in a conventional way, I should say. And it was a very big deal, and they very much towed the line, trying to balance out the need to create something like Pleasure Island, yet still separate it far enough that it didn't seem out of place. However, it got a little yucky when they started doing things like Videopolis East and then the Rock and Roller Dome. They would... you know, that obviously had an appeal to kids, and they're still messing with it. The age requirements are changing, what seems annually.
Right.
And so it was definitely front page news of the Orlando Sentinel.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much bigger than that. So okay.
Yeah, all the news that's fit to print is Lake Buena Vista, Dolly Parton closing.
Yeah, I think that was front page news for 2 or 3 days here, Dixie Stampede closing.
Because it was so sudden. I mean, it was open on Saturday night, and then Sunday they told everybody, you don't have jobs.
You know, speaking of sudden, though, I peruse a lot of industry headlines to keep abreast of things. And today I ran across a headline saying Dolly Parton is recruiting performers for the 3 remaining Dixie Stampedes. And I kind of thought, well, I know one place that might have some people that are looking for work.
Oh, wow. Well, in the article, she's quoted as saying that they're actually looking for another location here in Orlando, that it was not a poorly performing location. It's just that the people who came in, and we've now learned that it was the same company that owns the Premier Outlet that's right across the street there. And that outlet... And that outlet actually... has double the sales of any of their other locations in the U.S., so I can see why they would, you know, plop down a lot of money for that location.
I know where they can go. Where? Flamingo Crossings.
Oh, they could, huh?
Wow, that'd be very interesting.
I think if I were them, I'd look up closer to Universal, but...
iDrive, there's a lot of prime space on iDrive right now.
Over available. By the Pirates Dinner Adventure?
Yeah, Mercado. And
oh, that's right. All part of that, huh?
That'd be funny
Orlando.
That'd be funny if they were right next to Pirates Dinner Adventure. It'd be like the dueling dinner
the
shows.
The dueling dinner shows.
I know which one would win.
The North. Oh, wait. That was so bizarre when we went to that thing, because they divided. You know how when you go to, for you who haven't been there, when you go to medieval times, you have the various color knights, the red knight, the green knight, the blue knight, whatnot.
Black knight.
At Dixie Stampede, they divide the audience in half, and you have the north and the south, the blue and the gray. And it's just kind of odd to be there for a dinner show.
Especially,
and,
you know.
Be divided up into the blue and the gray.
Go ahead.
It's very odd because... I mean, I'm not from the South, but growing up, we were very happy the North won, and they let you pick, luckily, but I couldn't imagine being like, yeah, I want to be on the South. I mean, man, I know there's Confederate pride still to this day, but... Yes,
but the trouble with being on the South is one came home and one stayed behind.
Well, a cannonball don't pay no mind.
Exactly, so...
In fact, when I go, my brother actually has to stay on the other side.
Cannonball. But it did.
You know, when you go there, they have a little train station. It's actually Disneyland's Frontierland station.
Oh, stop. But it did have a tremendous beginning. You have to, that show when they had the sunset and the smoke, and then the buffalo went storming through the arena. I mean, that was impressive.
You know what's weird about it, though? The ostrich races.
Yeah, those were pretty odd.
That's cool. I do hope it reopens. We had a lot of fun there.
We did. The food wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't horrific.
Remember, and the finale reminds me of the bacon in Main Street Electrical Parade.
Oh,
the
finale
photo. They all have red light up, red, white, and blue as Dolly Parton sings on a big screen.
Would it be fair to say that of all the non-Disney dinner shows we've been to here in Central Florida, that was the best?
Out of the two we've been to? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it was.
Much better than Pirates, which is sort of an ongoing theme in my life.
Okay, in other news, apparently Disney... has not yet seen fit to fill their president's position, but does have another position that they vitally want to fill so badly that they've far and wide cast a net. You want to tell us about it, Rebecca?
Well, if you visit careerbuilder.com,
.com.
You can learn about their first ever search for a Disney Parks Chief Magic Official. And this is open to anyone, as they say.
Except, I'd like to note.
Well, yeah.
Employees of the Walt Disney Company and affiliated companies.
Right. The ideal candidate.
So no promote. You can't get promoted into this.
No, no. I mean, because if you're working for Disney, you've been pixie dusted out. You need to. They need to recruit from the outside for this.
They're looking to for someone to serve alongside the talented cast of Dreammakers. That's what they've announced. And their ideal candidate must be, quote, be happy, never grumpy, able to easily befriend dwarfs, dogs, monsters, and mice, have good manners, but also be able to pillage and plunder with pirates when necessary. Also required, pockets full of pixie dust, an aversion to poisonous apples, an interest in oversized teacups and flying elephants, and most importantly, a belief in all things magical.
They actually did put an addendum to that press release. Rosy cheeks, no warts, play games, all sorts.
Well, see, a pocket of pixie dust, though, can mean a variety of things to different people, though, so I'm not quite sure about...
It's not what you're thinking, Captain.
Okay, sorry.
I was going to apply, but I actually enjoy poison apples. And since I don't avert them, I am no longer eligible.
Good, because you're not very magical.
Because as anyone who's been to my house knows, I have many Day-Glow poisonous apples on my shelf.
Keep hands
just
and arms
kidding,
inside
just
the vehicle
kidding.
At all times,
safety
fanboy.
Is number one with me.
Well, you were the one that was talking about how you had those apples.
It was given to him.
This was a gift from a person who was permitted to give it to me.
Yeah, that's
do you know who,
that's
where
the
I
story.
Got mine from?
Where?
Just someone who how no longer works for the Gap.
Do you know where ours is? Maybe that's where he got it. Maybe this is just a cover.
Oh, good point.
But if you want this job, they ask you to submit a 60-second video resume, and then people will vote on it. It's very similar to the campaign they had last year with Career Builder for the dream job where you could be a pirate or a princess in waiting or whatnot.
I want to be a princess.
So
I want to be a pirate.
So again, we will see dozens and dozens of videos of various people who wish to be a part of the Disney magic for a day or it. And this one sounds like it lasts a little longer than a day because it says part-time CMO will create magical experience for guests and participate in various things. So I don't know if they're going to – I don't know how long. It doesn't say how long the term of office, as it were, is. But you can send in your videos between now and January 27th, and then the voting will begin.
And there actually is a video already up on YouTube. The first entry was from one Donald Duck.
Yep.
Not very impressive, so I think you guys
Donald,
do a...
Donald Duck?
Donald
yes.
Duck.
I thought he's not eligible.
Apparently, there's a special exemption for animated characters.
Is Donald Duck an independent contractor?
Oh, maybe. Maybe he's, like, outsourced?
Yeah, that'd be sad.
They're outsourcing, they've sent off to Toontown now, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Wow,
I mean, valet was one thing, but dang.
we'll see. Did who took the little test they have there?
I took the little test.
Oh, what's it called? The MAT? What does it stand for?
Magic Aptitude Test.
Yeah.
Although I no longer stands for that anymore because of... Never mind, SAT jokes. Probably a little esoteric, huh?
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little Mr. 1600, which doesn't mean anything anymore, does it?
No, it means you're stupid.
Mr. 1600.
All right, so what were the results you got?
I am Captain Hook. I am not a good magic person. They said, do not apply. Do not waste our time.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, it was very funny.
That's funny.
not in those precise
that's
words.
That's because you said you like to have nice people for lunch.
Wrong test. Did you take that test?
Yes.
That's a different test.
I remember that.
Well, did you take it, Fanboy, the MAT?
No.
Oh, we'll have to make
yet.
Him take it later.
I'll do that.
How about Fanboy and Rebecca? What were you guys' results?
Captain and Rebecca.
Captain and Rebecca. We were the same.
We were both.
What
we
did
both,
I say? Fanboy
you said
Rebecca?
Fanboy, yeah.
Dude, I'm stupid.
We were the same. We were both told that we would make a very good CMO as we reflect the qualities of leadership and magic making that are found in Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Uh-huh. Mickey Mouse.
Mr. Tchaikovsky.
Oh, boy.
He's our shining star.
And once again, where can people...
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Where can people go to apply and take the mat and... all the rest?
DisneyCMO.com.
Good luck, everybody, and may the force be with you.
Always.
So last week, our very own Fanboy made this incredibly out there, bold, daring prediction. What was that
Went
prediction,
out on
Fanboy?
A limb.
That they would announce an expansion of the World Showcase.
In 2008. And just this week, the one and only Jim Hill of Jim Hill Media
Disney.com
writes that perhaps a Russia pavilion will be coming to Epcot. That Disney's been doing a lot more business development in Russia. They have someone out there since 2006. They recently announced a big deal with Disney and ABC International Television, and that maybe as a part of that somehow that Disney has agreed to pursue a Russia pavilion at Epcot. What do you know? Fanboy might get one right this year.
Yay!
What do you guys think? First of all, where would such a pavilion go? Is there room at Epcot?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
There's plenty of room.
Can you give us an example of where that room might be?
Well, there's the outpost.
Well, that's taken by the outpost.
No. That's not a country.
Well, not to mention, isn't there a big water and bridge, and you can't exactly build on water and bridges?
On the other side, but there's that was originally supposed to be the African pavilion, so apparently there's room enough for
it.
A pavilion
spreads over, because you know that area where the Lion King DVC location was and all that? That's right. All area that they could
develop.
And
then you build back there.
Yeah.
I think there's also space next, I'm trying to think, what's next to, between Germany and...
There's Germany, Italy, U.S.
I think it's between Germany and Italy.
And
where the train is? Oh, yeah, if that train, and then there's that big green area back there, and the cart kind of makes it seem more full over there than
remember
it is.
Remember, the pavilions are not that wide
right.
for the most part. They're just built back, so you mm-hmm. wouldn't necessarily notice that there's room until...
The room is shown.
Yep.
Is this a good idea? Would we like a Russian pavilion?
That'd be neat.
What would go there? When I think Russia, it's not good things I'm thinking of. Let me rephrase that.
Poor Russians.
Too bad it collapsed. What comes to mind when you think Russia? Most of the pavilions, you know, Italy, China, things immediately come to mind. Russia.
Meet and greet with Dr. Strangelove.
Kick dancing, big beaver hats, and vodka.
Vodka.
That's
the key.
Food and Wine Festival. Come Food and Wine Festival.
That's actually good. They don't even have a kiosk now, do they, for Food and Wine Festival?
I think it would be really pretty if they had the, you know, those, whatever, I mean, no architecture major, but those, you know, Vulcan towers.
The Kremlin-type buildings?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's similar to It's a Small World. I think of the It's a Small World segment where there's that beautiful structure and then the guys dancing like the captain mentioned.
Kick dancers.
I guess you could also have artisans. They do like those beautiful dolls that fit into the, you know, one inside the other.
Oh yeah, the endless
the
dolls.
The nesting dolls.
Those are frustrating.
And I think they have decorated eggs.
Yeah,
also
the Fabergé
eggs and whatnot.
And they're also known for the circus, the Moscow Circus.
Ballet. Oh. Ballet.
No.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Ballet at Epcot.
Like have like, you know how Masquerade used to come out at Italy. We'll have something like that, a small stage, maybe two or three people come out and do some sort of interpretive ballet, a representation of Russian ballet. That'd be nice.
You can always just like add a Mission Space kind of experience and go to Mir, whatever. Was it
That'd be fun.
Mir? That's not up there anymore.
Exactly, that's why it could be fun. Like, hey, I'm crashing down into the Earth's atmosphere. Woo!
Well, you don't have a good time.
Trying to think, what else is Russia known for?
Yeah, what kind of a
See,
major
the Black
attraction?
Sea is beautiful. I know that.
You can always clap
but,
out
I mean,
and do
but we would
soaring
have said the
over.
Same thing like with Norway.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm
no,
just
no,
saying,
no, no, no.
Is that what it would end up be, soaring over Russia in effect? You think?
You know what I think is you have to look at their fairy tales and their mythology, and I think that may be where it'll come out of the mythology like they did for Norway.
For Norway, yeah. When you got Norway, you got the trolls and everything.
Yeah. And I have to imagine that Russia has some very interesting mythology.
My understanding is Russia always was and always will be...
Adventure?
It's people.
They're famous for being good at the Olympics. They could tie that in somehow.
Steroids. East German women.
Not Russian.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see. You know, you'd bring in Russian cast members.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. And then they could tell us what attraction
What about Russian food?
Maybe Stanko can come back.
He wasn't Russian. He was Slovakian of some sort.
Oh, no,
it's
you're
not
right.
a USSR pavilion.
No, you're right. You're right.
So isn't it a requirement for like Epcot to have some sort of like food reason?
Oh, that'll
build
be
these
food.
Places like what's like famous Russian food?
I don't know, but it's got to be out there.
Do you think it'll be Russia, or do you think it will be Russia and assorted former Soviet republics?
I think it will be Russia as to not bring up.
Yeah,
the former.
That could be really awkward.
I'm not sure
awkward.
That would be a good idea.
Can you imagine? That would be very awkward.
Russia and Kazakhstan together again.
Yeah. It'd be sad, though, because I have family from the Ukraine, from back in, you know, they came into the U.S. in, like, the 1800s, but the family was from the Ukraine, great-grandpa, you know, he was very Russian. And it would be fun to have something that reflected that, but, you know, can't have everything.
So, fanboy, I'm dying to know, when you made your prediction last week, did you have an inkling of this?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Thank you for that clarification.
You're welcome.
AKA,
sir.
He did.
I have no doubt he did.
So, as we record this, we actually have playing in the background The Shaggy Dog, a recent Disney release. Oh, no, not too recent, but a remake of a classic Disney film with Tim Allen. It's not very good, what I'm catching so far, but our dog likes it, so, you know, we left it on to amuse him while we record the podcast. But hopefully, the lineup of films this year will be more impressive and more enjoyable than the Tim Allen number. So
that's why we're starting off with College Road Trip.
Exactly.
Well, let me just say that of all the movies on this list in front of me, yep, every single one of them, the one I am most excited about seeing, the one I think I will be talking about for years to come, is College Road Trip.
Really? Indeed. Well, let's see. This year we've got College Road Trip, Prince Caspian, Wall-E, South of the Border, High School Musical 3, Bolt, Bedtime Stories, and then the direct-to-video Tinkerbell. So
but
that's
I'd like
what we've
to comment that I'm not quite sure High School Musical 3 might be coming out.
Oh, good point.
Very true.
Good point. But it's
but
on
as
their
of right now
list.
It is.
Yeah.
What excites you the most, Captain, given that lineup? Forget Tinkerbell. That's a DVD. But given the rest of those, all right, I know you're excited about Wall-E.
Wall-E.
But of the smaller films, the ones that aren't called Wall-E, which one excites you the most?
South of the Border sounds just crazy weird.
Rebecca, tell us about South of the Border.
South of the Border is a story of a pampered pooch, a chihuahua to be exact, who gets
played by
lost.
Tim Allen.
No, who gets lost in Mexico.
Played by E.T., you moron.
And she's far away from her Beverly Hills home, and she tries to find her way home. And it's the chihuahua is being voiced by Drew Barrymore. Now, this is not an animated feature. This is one of those computer
no
animated.
No CGI features. Will be involved at all.
No, but when you talk about Drew Barrymore being the voice, people might envision, you know, traditional animation. No, this is one of those, you know, talking dog movies.
No, this just sounds very interesting in one of those train wreck kind of ways.
Well, I mean, you already have Snow Buddies coming out on DVD.
Aww.
And Blu-ray disc.
And this reminds me of, what's the movie we saw last year? About the star
Snow
dog?
Dogs?
No, about the star dog who had...
Firehouse Dog?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a quality film.
That was quality film.
Not Disney, though.
No,
and
but...
the dog didn't talk.
This film has a decidedly Latin flavor. The dog finds itself lost in Mexico. And then they also have the additional voice talents of Andy Garcia, George Lopez, and Salma Hayek. So I suspect
that's the
that
Latin flavor, I believe.
That you'll have a lot of... I suspect you'll have a lot of humor for that community.
Or George Lopez.
Hey, he was funny that time we saw him at DCA. Did you not think so?
Member!
Yeah.
That's all I remember from
you
that show.
About,
was member!
Oh, do you know what I remember from that show? The story of the family of 10 sharing a churro that he would tell. Which anybody else tells that story, it's highly inappropriate. But coming from George Lopez, it's very funny. Am I not right?
You
were talking about passing the churro around the family of 10 and everybody taking a bite, turning it every which way.
You should have just gotten popcorn.
Very true.
Easier to share.
All right, fanboy, your turn. Other than
Wally.
And other than the aforementioned South of the Border, what are you excited about?
Well, to be perfectly honest, it's a movie that we haven't mentioned that's coming out February 1st.
Yep, I knew you were going to bring it up.
Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus in Disney Digital 3D, 1 week only.
3D?
Hopefully it's the real Miley and not that double that's been making the rounds.
Oh, that is such a silly story. A minute and a half for a costume change. This is not a story.
You know where these people need to go? They need to go see Aladdin at DCA.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's the conversation I had with Doobie. Like, it's a show. You have body doubles in shows. It happens in shows.
When I first heard that she had a body double, I thought she had some, like, showed a little bit too much body, like they do in a body double does in the movie. I didn't think. I was a little worried. especially since it's in 3D.
Oh.
You know, every time we talk about Hannah Montana, something very strange comes out of Fanboy's mouth.
Fanboy has a thing. Fanboy's just counting down. I've actually seen his LP counter because I can see the back end, and for some reason it goes to Miley Cyrus's 18th birthday. I'm just saying.
You're such men. You're such men. You're not as bad as ESPN, though.
Da-na-na.
Dude, Outside the Lines was over the line today.
Oh, ironic.
I think that's okay, since that is the name of the show.
No, it was over the line.
What
it
did they do?
It was wrong. They were talking about the New England Patriots 16-0 record.
Yes.
And in the introduction, they were talking about how it's not that big of a deal, right? Isn't that how they were framing it?
They said if they don't win the Super Bowl, then it's not that big of a deal. It'll kind of become a thing to say 16-0, meaning you won all your regular season games, but you didn't finish the job. For example, and then they show a picture of, what's her name?
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Say she's a 16-0.
She's 16-0. That is not right. I was just not a happy camper.
Horrified.
No, you are laughing. Don't even try.
I'm not going to pretend I'm horrified. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I made Doobie rewind. I'm like, they did not just say that.
Did Bob Lee host?
No, it was that Shop kid.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy.
Oh.
It's Jeremy Shop. But it was funny. But it was funny to me because the other day on ESPN, Colin Cowherd was going on and on and on about the fact that they wouldn't let him post a picture of Posh Spice on his website. He wanted to put on ESPN.com a poll of, is she hot?
Mm-hmm.
And because she topped Blackwell's list of being badly dressed, and he thought that wasn't right. So he wanted to put three pictures of Posh up on his website and get the Sports Nation question or whatever in the Colin section to be about Posh. And the ESPN.com people told him he couldn't do it. So he had his people, his listeners, write in and overturn it. And they got so many emails, as he put it, who knows, that they decided to let him post a few pictures of Posh. But I was like,
if we did an ESPN production, it would be that I don't think Colin Cowherd's going to make it to 2009.
I'd agree with you there.
My fingers are crossed. But we are moving so far afield. Let me ask you a question, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Bedtime Stories. What's that about?
It's about, it's an Adam Sandler feature, and he's going to play a dad, I believe, who, I know he tells it, he plays a storyteller whose bedtime stories to his nephew come to life. So I guess maybe he's not a dad, maybe he's an uncle.
We'll see. Now that's actually the legitimate movie that I would be actually looking forward to, rather than the other one.
Before you go, I pulled up a description of it. I think it's from Coming Soon is where I pulled up this description, and it says, Adam Sandler stars as a man whose nighttime tales do more than just put his nephew to sleep. And I'm thinking, I hope they do more than just put me to sleep. And then it goes on to say, instead they become reality.
Yeah, when we stop there, it almost sounds like a horror movie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Adam Sandler and fantasy, which is what this sounds like, are so unappealing, but this seems a bit intriguing. I have high hopes for this.
It's interesting because there's a man that left the Walt Disney Company and came back who used to have his uncle tell him stories when he was laying in bed, and they come true, as the sign on the front of the theme park say, and that would be Roy Disney. In fact, he often says that when Walt would tell him the story of Pinocchio, it was a lot better than the movie.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, dang animators.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know. Do you think that it'll be fantasy kind of like Pushing Daisies fantasy? Is that what you're envisioning?
I don't know.
Or are you envisioning? I mean, when you say you're looking forward to it, are you thinking Jumanji?
Last movie FB over there and I saw, there was a trailer for, you may have even been there. There was a trailer for a movie about reading a book and the stuff happens.
Oh, Spiderwick Chronicles.
Very good.
Yeah, it didn't look very good, but that's what I'm picturing because that's the last trailer I saw and I have no imagination.
And it's the same thing.
One movie none of us have mentioned. Anybody looking forward to Prince Caspian, the next Narnia film?
I'd take it or leave it.
See, I thought the first one was good. It's just that, I don't know, it's not really my kind of movie.
Once you've seen One Santa Claus, you've seen them all?
I'm just not a big fan of those kinds of adventure fantasy films anyway, so not my thing.
I'm looking forward to the Q3 earnings report because I'm feeling that's going to make a lot of money.
I'm looking forward to Bolt, kind of. The recent stuff I've seen on it is not that entertaining. I mean, I don't know. The previous
the one
characters,
picture we've seen.
Well, the previous picture of the dog was very cute. And yes, I'll admit it's because he had the very clear reflection of Chrysander's art, which I really like. So now it doesn't have that anymore, and it didn't grab me in the same way. But we'll see. I mean, I'm willing to give it a chance, but the art so far, I was kind of disappointed. It looked really dog-like. The German Shepherd looked very German Shepherd, whereas before it just kind of looked like generic white dog. It was kind of cute.
I'm worried about this female cat named Mr. Mittens. I wonder if him and Francis are going to start a support group.
But you're not looking forward to college road trip at all?
I actually was going to bring up that next. I meant that when I started this by saying I'm looking forward to college road trip.
Okay.
I'm excited about it. This guy is Raven.
Yes.
A.K.A. Raven Simone from my Cosby Show days.
Mm-hmm.
And
Martin Lawrence.
And better known as Martin from Martin.
And I'm looking forward to the fact Donny Osmond. That'll be fun. Playing a very, the character in the clip is a very sunshine and lollipops kind of character, and Pollyanna, clean cut, squeaky clean dad.
It
seems fun.
It looks like a fun movie, you know.
And
works?
There's a pig.
Well, can't have everything.
No, you have a thing against pig?
I don't want a pig in a movie.
Really?
Animals usually don't make movies better unless it's about the animal. Just having an ancillary animal, not a good thing.
What about Spider Pig?
Does whatever
the
Spider
exception
Pig does.
That proves the rule.
10-4.
You looking forward to college road trip? I know you are. We're going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait because it might be the last Disney movie greenlit.
I know it's going to be.
Oh, that's right.
It's going to be better than the last Martin Lawrence Disney movie we saw.
Wild Hogs?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, they greenlit Wild Hogs, too.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Wait, so are you sure, though? I mean, it could be.
There is no way this is going to be worse than Wild Hogs, which, if I recall correctly, was the second worst movie of 2006 for me.
Didn't that movie come out in 2007?
The second worst movie of the third worst movie of 2007 for me. Wait, I got that right here. Yep, 2007. Only things worse were The Invisible and Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
So your bottom three are released by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution?
You got it.
That's fabulous.
Actually, above that would be Ratatouille.
Okay, so bottom four. What's the bottom five?
1408, you're safe.
Oh, good.
The next Disney doesn't come in until Underdog.
And what does that say?
Wow,
about Pirates of the Caribbean Invisible. And
Underdog did better than Pirates for you. That's funny.
And I think my highest rated Disney is Dan in Real Life, with about 7 above it.
Wow, what does that say about you?
Yikes. Not a good year for the mouse in my mind.
That's pretty
good. We had a good one. National Treasure 2.
He is looking in horror.
Oh, have we told them the story about
yes,
you? Okay.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
so
yes.
You got to give it, like, move it up two spots because you didn't miss the best
Once
part.
Once I reseed it, I'll reseed it.
Okay.
Also coming out this year, direct to video.
And Enchanted.
Is Tinkerbell.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the story of the world of Pixie Hollow, where the Disney fairies live, and they right now are very popular thanks to the design your own website stuff and the books and all that kind of thing. And this time, unlike Peter Pan, Tinkerbell will have a voice.
You know, it'd be funny if it was like Francis and he's actually a guy.
That's what Peter Pan, speaking of Peter Pan, usually is. No, wait, Peter Pan is a guy. On stage is a girl. Never mind. I'm going to stop talking. But the news is...
You are a real boy!
The news is that Tinkerbell will have a voice. Is that good?
I don't know. It'll be interesting for her to have a voice. Because now you see her and you just think, you know...
Jingle, 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 jingle.
So Tinkerbell did have a voice a long time ago in like those old Disney records.
Yeah, hopefully
it's
this voice will be better.
I remember like this the tour of Disneyland. It's like, hi, I'm Tinkerbell. And it's like, whoa.
Was it Walt Disney back in the day?
I hear it was performed by Jack Wagner.
Oh, I think he did all the voices for a while.
Now, this is an animated film?
Yes.
Obviously?
Not yes.
Obviously. No, it could be
from the Disney Toon Studios.
No, it's CGI.
Yeah.
Which is animation.
I mean, it could be like...
It is no, it is. It is not actors who are animated. It is just...
Is this normal CGI or is this stupid stuff like those insurance commercials?
No.
This is more
Polar
along
Express.
The lines of the flat computer, like Return to Neverland. It's not as deep and rich as the traditional animation, it's not, you know, TV animation. It's that in betweenness.
I hope it has a song as good as Return to Neverland.
I wonder what the music will be. I haven't heard anything yet about the music.
Well, they're getting Phil Collins to do it.
Disney legend.
This just in, after reading my list and checking it twice, my highest rated Disney film was actually my number two film of the year, a little minor overlooked film called Enchanted. So just wanted to make that correction.
Thank you, because...
Yeah, we really needed the big, you know, bombastic.
It'd be fantastic.
Captain, challenge us.
All right. last episode, I threw out another pirate question, believe it or not. And I asked, who played the first mate to Captain Jack Sparrow in the Pirates films? Anybody have any guesses in the studio?
Bob Denver.
No.
Michael Ovitz.
No. You know, very close. No, I'm kidding. Let me get my list here. All right, we have Utah Josh, who actually posted with Kevin McNally. Though it was the second post because he was just so excited that he posted a new topic that he finally got a chance to listen to the show when he got back. So,
hi, Utah Josh.
Yeah, we didn't get the answer out there.
Sorry we didn't catch up with you while you were at Disneyland. It was frustrating because we could see your pictures on live but didn't know how to get in touch with you. So we were there, and you were there, and yet our paths did not cross.
I thought it was interesting, in post number 9, Utah Josh happens to mention, it's been a good week. I got engaged and won the Captain's Challenge.
Hooray! Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good week. Someone else posted a little bit later that the Captain's Challenge was the most important of those.
Oh, that's very true. Sad. Oh, no, that's very sad.
No.
I hope your girlfriend, your fiancé, is a Disney fan.
Well, based on some of the posts on the discussion boards, I believe they got engaged at Disneyland, so that would tend to point towards that.
That's good.
That's where I got engaged, actually.
Yeah, it is.
How about you, Rebecca?
I got engaged at Disneyland as well.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, what a small world this is.
I know.
But we didn't get married at Disneyland. But we got married at a former Disney property, the Queen Mary.
I'm going to get married at an ABC radio station.
Okay. So what's up for today?
I'm getting lazy, but because I'm going to throw in more pirate stuff. I mean, hey, I am Captain John. I have the privilege to say pirate things. So I thought I'd take this opportunity. We were talking about Tinkerbell earlier, all right? You know,
jingle, villain. Jingle, jingle, jingle.
Villain in Peter Pan, Captain Hook, you know, very infamous. And this is going to be very speed, you know, hands on the buzzers here. Not for the people, this is not for the studio. This is for those listening at home.
But you still want their hands on their buzzards.
Yes, I still want their hands on the buzzards because you have to be quick. This is going to be a quick and easy one. Which hand is, which side does Captain Hook have his hook? Left or right? That is the question. So, there you go. It's very simple.
I guarantee it will take no more than two to get this answer right on the Captain Hook.
Exactly.
Unless we have some really pathetic list.
If my calculations are correct, if Magnet gets this next one right, he will be the overall champion.
He wins absolutely nothing.
Aw, sound effects.
Thank you so much, Captain.
So, Doobie, what time is it?
Summertime.
Where's your Christmas? Martin Luther King Day, it's our vacation. What time is it? Martin Luther King time. That's right, singing out. What time is it? Time of our lives, emancipation.
Oh, that was painful. Almost as painful as seeing that Alan Menken did the music for Shaggy Dog, but not quite. Oh, wow. Okay, so not really what I was going for, but Doobie, what time is it?
It's my favorite part of the show. It's my favorite part of the show. It's my favorite part of the show. Popcorn or churro!
Okay. Don't ever do that again.
Okay.
Come on, everybody.
Okay, Doobie, you're first. Popcorn or churro?
For the gang assembled at the table here, I would like to know, if you could bring one ride back from Yesterland of these two at Disneyland, and in bringing it back, it replaces the current attraction there, would you bring back the Country Bear Playhouse or America Sings?
Wait, so if we brought it back and replaced what it was replaced with?
Yes. Exactly.
Country Bear.
America Sings.
America Sings.
Yeah, I'm biased because I never saw America Sings.
Country Bear, and I did see America Sings.
Okay. Pop goes the weasel.
Pop goes the eardrum. Who's
your
next?
Next up, Captain.
Captain, National Treasure 1 or 2?
Ooh.
Uno.
One,
yeah. Even you know, actually, come to think of it, I think we asked this the last time I was on the show, but hey.
I don't think I can actually accurately say because I missed the pivotal scene in the film. So I will answer again after I see it again.
All right.
AMC Pleasure Island or AMC Downtown Disney?
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Oh, I have an answer. I'm going to say AMC Downtown Disney because it gave me the Piglet is Bi marquee. When Piglet's big movie came out, they couldn't fit it all up there, so it just said Piglet's Bi. And
which finally answered all my questions.
So it will forever be my favorite theater.
Wow. Disneyland has much better food because they had pizza.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I think the theater itself was better in California.
But here, unless you're going at a really horrible time, has a better parking situation. Well,
okay, let me just say this. I think the California one wins just because there's not two sides to the theater.
That's what I was going to say. California, I always know I'm going to park by the entrance nearest my theater.
You don't have to walk 500 miles to get to the right one.
So you all say California?
Yeah.
Yep, for very different reasons.
I can't decide. I'm gonna go with here.
Wow.
So after all that thinking, what was the thoughts going through your head there?
Which one had the better food closest to outside the theater?
Oh, I understand.
Wetzel's Pretzel, right there. And the parking too. I mean, when the parking's bad here, it's bad. But most of the time, the parking's pretty close, whereas in California, even when it's pretty empty, it's a decent walk from downtown Disney to that theater.
I can understand the food thing because, you know, in California, Starbelia's, the food isn't very...
It's not.
No.
And they don't let you take pictures of it either. Who's next? Rebecca?
I'm up, and I'm going to ask between two Walt Disney World theme park, not high-end, but maybe a little bit more fancy restaurants, and that's going to be the Liberty Tree Tavern. Or Brown Derby.
Oh.
I'm going to say the tavern for one reason only. All you can eat.
I can't exactly honestly answer this because I've only been to the tavern, so I'll just go with the tavern.
Oh, you haven't been to Brown Derby? Oh, we'll have to rectify that.
I love the Brown Derby. However, there's no food more comforting than Liberty Tree Tavern. It's comfort food that tastes good. There's plenty of it.
All you can eat.
And not to mention it's a cool setting. I mean, it's a tavern.
Characters.
A tavern at the Magic Kingdom that doesn't serve alcohol. And I'd have to go that way. And honestly, I think the service is better.
Ooh, it certainly was better than our last trip to Brown Derby.
Yeah, our last trip to Brown Derby was pretty disappointing as far as service went, but the food was okay.
Oh, no, the food was good.
Well, my food was okay.
Your food was okay. That pumpkin cheesecake.
That pumpkin cheesecake was amazing.
Apple cobbler, though, at Liberty Tree Tavern.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even. All you can eat.
Oh, and they have that, what do they call it, Patriot's Punch or something?
What are we doing after this?
Oh, okay. Liberty Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up food. I think I might also go with Liberty Tree Tavern, which surprises me, but I think that's where I
was
leaning to.
If you asked me, like, a year ago, I would have said Brown Derby.
Oh, yeah, me too, hands down. Fine. So, Captain, what's up next for you?
All right. If you were to... There's two epic lines here. If you were to wait in one of them, would it be Indiana Jones or Roger Rabbit's standby queue? Like, which one would you rather just wait the longest time in?
Whoa, 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 whoa. For the longest time.
Like, what is he doing? No, he was pulling out the Billy Joel on
you. That's funny.
They're both spectacular queues, but I actually prefer the Roger Rabbit queue, except for it can get hot in there. But just as far as the visuals, I'll go with Roger Rabbit. And no, I'm not taking off my clothes anyway.
Are we just thinking about the queue, or are we thinking about what's on the other end of it?
Thinking about the queue, specifically. If you're just to wait
the just
long...
If I had to stand somewhere,
right?
Where would I rather stand?
Pretty much, yeah. Where would you rather spend your time waiting in line?
Oh, Roger Rabbit. It's more spacious.
I'm going to go for Roger Rabbit because I think it tells the story better. I mean, I love the indie queue, and granted, you're going to wait longer. I mean, back in the day, at least you'd wait longer in the indie queue. So, you know, I'd rather wait 3 hours in the indie queue because it's built for that. As opposed to Roger Rabbit, that'd be a little torturous. You'd be out in, you know, small world area. But, yeah, I think Roger Rabbit's probably one of the best queues ever built.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Indiana Jones on this one just because, well, I mean, I like the sort of rugged Adventureland type stuff, but I like the fact that it's sort of inside and outside kind of part of the time. Once you get to the stairs, though, then sort of it's like not too fun to go and wait in line on stairs.
Once you cross over that, for some reason there's this huge set of double doors on both sides of you. I can never figure out what that's about. Then everything seems to get really small and tight.
What is that about?
That's the access road that goes all the way around the Disneyland, and if you need to get it through, they take down the temporary poles that are there and open up the double doors, and then you go in the Batcave because you're going underneath the railroad tracks, and they want to make those as small as possible because that's expensive.
I think the Roger Rabbit queue is actually one of the most underrated things about Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the cool thing about Roger Rabbit is that you get to look through like the little holes and like see the ride, too.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. How about you, Fanboy? What's your next?
Pinocchio's Village House at Fantasyland at the Disneyland Park or Pinocchio's Village House at Fantasyland at Magic Kingdom Park?
That's an easy one.
Well.
Walt Disney World, because it has two levels here, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it also has the view of Small World, so it's got everything going for it.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, the view of Small World makes it more difficult to choose. I like the food that they offer better at the other one, though.
The other one being which one?
Oh, Disneyland. But, I mean, it's like the place with the slowest service. No matter what time of day it is, it takes the exact same amount of time. Whether the line is very long or very short, it always takes the same amount of time to get through the line, which is so bizarre. But I'm going to have to go with the one here because of the Small World queue viewing.
And I'd have to go with Disneyland just because all the food at Disneyland is better. When it comes to the Magic Kingdom type park.
Like, food means anything.
What about you, Fanboy?
I'm going to go with, I was originally, when I asked the question, going to say Disneyland, but now that I was reminded of the Small World view, I'm going to go for Walt Disney World.
Good choice.
Do they both have the same, you know, polka music?
Yes.
All right.
As I could sing it all today and have never eaten at Polka Pinocchio's Village House before.
So my question
is, please sit smaller guests towards the...
So my question involves signature dishes, and that is
John Hancock.
The Cobb salad or the Monte Cristo? The Cobb salad being Brown Derby's signature dish, Monte Cristo being what I would consider Blue Bayou's signature dish.
You would consider it and the rest of the world.
That one's pretty easy, even though I have to get a vegetarian version, the Monte Cristo.
I have no idea what on earth you're talking about.
You've never had a Cobb salad or a Monte Cristo at a Disney theme park?
No.
And you call yourself a Disney.
You have to do
member.
That. It's very yummy.
Do I?
Yeah. No, you really do. They're part of the Disney experience. It's like not going on an attraction to not eat these foods.
Well, I haven't been on Tower of Terror, so that's part of the course.
Well, there you go.
But
that's okay.
The Blue Bayou one, just because. Blue Bayou.
Okay. What about you, fanboy?
Cobb salad all the way.
Yeah, me too.
Monte Cristo I feel like I should have a procedure after I eat that thing.
I could usually have like two bites of. I could usually have like two bites of a Monte Cristo.
After a Monte Cristo, I have an extrication.
Do you know what a Monte Cristo is, Captain? It's a thick sandwich. It's two beautiful slices of bread with usually turkey, ham, and cheese that they then batter and deep fry.
Wow.
And they dust it with sugar, a light dusting of sugar like you would a French toast. And then it's served with
jam.
Fruit of some sort, like a boysenberry jam or whatever.
That sounds quite fascinating.
It's
jam,
really, really tasty.
Jam don't shake like
that. Yeah. really I think tasty. It's a marmalade.
You have the savory, the salty, the sweet.
If it's fried, then that's definitely gets my little.
GB gets it without the meat. I just get it without. I usually get his turkey added to mine. And no ham on mine. So, the Cobb salad I get it with no bacon, whereas DB gets it with no meat. But it Cobb salad is just a finely chopped lettuce, bacon, turkey, egg, blue cheese, tomatoes, avocado, And served in a light French dressing. Both are very tasty. I highly recommend them to anybody going to Disney. In fact, I think the cod salad is now available at, like, Grab and Go at the... Or it was for a while. I don't know if it still is. At Starring Rolls, it was available for Grab and Go.
Really?
Starring Rolls.
Oh, yeah. You can walk up
What am I doing eating in Brown Derby for?
It was nice. You didn't even have it when we went there the other day.
I know, because it's 4-2, and I'm Mr. Third Wheel.
Oh, that's true.
I know. What were you doing? Never mind.
He had a parsnip soup, remember? He was like, I wonder. It was so cute. He takes a bite. He goes, oh, that's what a parsnip tastes like. It made us laugh.
All right. And our final popcorn of churro of the week. And here's a reminder for y'all to send yours in to us, because we love answering reader PRCs.
Because it means we don't have to come up with them.
It's not as easy as you might think, especially for Mr. 1600 over here and I. In Psych, Sean or Gus?
This is not Disney.
It's my question.
Ooh.
Sean or Gus? Wow.
Gotta go with Magic Head.
Oh, total Magic
Head. I mean, because not only is he Magic Head, he's got the Super Sniffer.
Mm-hmm.
So Fanboy says Magic Head, Gus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm with him.
Definitely.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely Gus. Awesome. 4-4 for Mr. BG. Glad to hear it.
That's very funny. We all love Magic
Head. Do you have a Disney one? Are you just going to end with that?
No, that's my one.
Oh,
that's
right.
He's done. Hey, speaking of like non-Disney stuff, I got invited to be part of Universal's quality assurance program. They sent me an email.
I assure you, you have no quality.
No, stop. Don't pick on him. So it's cool. So they asked me all these questions about the holidays that I went there to visit, and then they asked me if I'd be interested in doing more surveys. And it was funny because it's like, how often would you be interested in doing a survey? Weekly, monthly, it doesn't matter. So I was like, cool, so we'll see. So that'd be fun. I like Universal.
I look forward to hearing about it. Reader Jeff Mitchell writes, hi, podcast people. I heard in your last podcast that on your recent trip to Disneyland that Doobie and Rebecca came away feeling that the Epcot version of Nemo was more appealing. I was admittedly surprised by that. I recently was at Disney World for the first time in a long time. I had the chance to ride the subs here in Anaheim but a few times before going, and I was really disappointed in the Epcot version. It seemed lacking without all the bubbles and water.
Okay.
It's ironic. Do you guys find yourself preferring the version of rides that you experience first and have become accustomed to? I do that often. In fact, when I go to Disney World, I enjoy mostly rides that we don't have here. Don't get me wrong, I love the Magic Kingdom. The bigger scale is great, but I did find myself comparing rides between the parks and preferring Disneyland rides often, with the exception of the Haunted Mansion. The refurbishment is very well done. So, there it is. Do you think that you like what you rode first?
Well, I think Disneyland's versions tend to be better, so, in general.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Big Thunder?
Tend to be.
Splash Mountain?
Big Thunder and Splash Mountain being the notable exceptions.
Space Mountain?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Better.
Don't tell Greg Miletic that.
But, well, it's interesting. You know you know how you find a solution? You find out if that phenomenon might be true? Thank you. You find people that saw Fantasmic here first and then ask them if they liked it better. If they did, then yes, that happens. If they didn't, then no.
It's kind of hard. All four of us experienced Disney World version of everything before Disneyland versions first, right? So,
yep.
Kind of hard. But I do think there is something to that. I would fully expect that most Disneyland people prefer the subs, and most Disney World people, at least a higher percentage of Disney World people, prefer Nemo out here.
I don't know, because the subs are such a unique experience. I think the sub attraction oven by itself. I think the problem, if you want to call it that, for us is the fact that we were so familiar with the classic edition of the subs that not only were we comparing it to the classic subs, but we were also comparing it to the Epcot attraction. So it was like a dual comparison there.
Maybe.
Screens down. You got that reference?
Dual
2 points.
But yeah, no, I suspect that what he's saying is true. I don't know because it's hard to say.
Here's another one that I think is interesting. It's kind of similar. You prefer the original Country Bear Jamboree, right?
To Playhouse? Oh, and definitely. Yeah.
Fanboy over here. You are very not accurate.
Yeah, I know.
And Fanboy, the first one you saw was Playhouse, right?
Yes.
So, and you guys are very opposite on that. And I think that perhaps is an example of what you saw first is what you like.
Well, I got to be fair. When I first saw Playhouse, the Vacation Hoedown, I didn't like it. But then I saw the original show and realize it ain't that bad.
Yeah, that's funny. You know what happened to me that was very funny was I always had in my I actually experienced the Fantasyland rides at Walt Disney World before I did at Disneyland. And then in 83, they even changed Disneyland. So, you know, it was a new Fantasyland in many ways. And I had always thought that I preferred the classic Peter Pan attraction. And which is still what you would find here at Walt Disney World. But during our recent trip out to California, I realized that I much prefer the Disneyland attraction. And I wonder if it was that my memory was not accurate or have my taste changed. That's the weird part is I don't even know because it's been so long. Because Fantasyland being such a congested area, I didn't typically visit it very often. So
I think the classic example of this is the story I heard often about Carousel of Progress here, which opened with, now is the time, now is the best time.
Now is the best time of our lives.
And then they eventually switched it to the original.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow.
Only to have a bunch of complaints from people who said, why did you get rid of the classic song?
Oh,
and of course,
funny.
That's the one that they knew.
Right.
Even though Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow is the true classic song. So sometimes one version is clearly better than the other, but I think there's definitely something to the what you're familiar with is better.
I agree, but I don't... I hesitate to say that's what happened with Nemo. I think I would say more, when I first went to Walt Disney World, you know, after several visits to Disneyland as a kid, I could see, yeah, maybe. But now we think about these things. We overthink these things as a fan community that I don't know that we get to have that gut reaction anymore. Everything is so thought out. And
we're so immersed in the development process, and we know so much of everything that went on. Going, you know, in the creation of it sometimes.
Because I think Nemo's biggest problem was a disappointment. I mean, the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage was a disappointment more than it was bad.
That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah, no, oh no, that's true. I didn't think it was a bad attraction. It was just not the adventure that I find the other one to be. But it's weird. It's just so weird. I miss the Kooka, of all things. I know. Well, because it went from being, I mean, here at Epcot, the anglerfish is mounted on this robotic arm, and it just zigs and zags and zooms, and I mean, it's kind of scary. Whereas there, it's just a bunch of these, you know, eerie luminescent critters off in the distance that didn't even seem to really move.
Mr. Baxter.
Yeah, but
That's why I do prefer the Epcot.
So it's weird for me.
The Epcot does not look like you're watching a movie.
Okay, yeah. I know that's a big deal for you.
It's like Terminator.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
You got some more reader mail?
Oh, I guess I do. Hang on. I gotta find it here.
Reader mail.
And who says we don't prepare?
Toby asks us about show 63, where we were joking about the DCA redo and how funny it would be to have an extreme makeover style reveal, and we mentioned some DCA buses that are in the parking structure. And he asks us to elaborate on what these buses are, as he has seen them in the parking structure and always wondered what they were for. He says you don't have to read this on the show unless you really, really want to, with a smiley face.
Yeah, colon.
So we really, really want to.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to pass up the chance to read some viewer
we
mail.
We miss them. That is why we were talking about them. We miss these buses. They were awesome. They were the double-decker buses, like omnibuses that travel Main Street, and they were brightly colored in reds and yellows, reflecting the beautiful golden future of DCA and the expansion and California Dream and all of that. And they would travel back and forth between downtown Disney, the Mickey and Friends parking structure, and the Paradise Pier Hotel. And I think they only had 3 stops.
And they ran from what, 10 to 10:15 every Thursday?
Oh, yeah. They had a very odd operating schedule, which made them not as useful as we all expected them to be. But then, unfortunately, following 9/11, the roadway that travels from out of the parking lot there beside the parking structure into the downtown Disney. Past the Disneyland Bonita Tower, and over to Paradise Pier
Sierra
Hotel.
Sierra Tower, right?
Oh, yeah, Sierra Tower, yeah.
Well, neither, none of them now.
Well, yeah, no, I realize. Sierra Tower over to Paradise Pier Hotel. They had to put up, they opted to put up strong those heavy water gates so that people, they were concerned, I mean, the time of security, they were concerned about large vehicles being able to be driven into heavily populated areas. So they put up these barricades at the hotel entrances and at this area. Stop snickering, you guys. It was supposed to be a heavily populated area. They can't help it that it didn't turn out that way. They also did this over at the Grand California, and they had polls. They have them, you know, a lot of the hotels here have them too, you see. It was just a change after following the events of 9/11.
And for a long time, they had those buses parked in the parking structure.
Yeah.
And then eventually, they were parked over at the cast member entrance off Ball. And
they would move a car every time they would move it every time they would have a delivery. It was protecting that gate.
And then on my last trip there, I took a walk and I noticed that they weren't there at Ball anymore. They had the Disney World cast zoom system, as I like to call it, which has nothing to do with that, but it's my little inside joke. And so I don't know where they are now. Hopefully they still exist.
Yeah, they were fun.
You know, it's speaking of double-decker buses, you know they have the one on Main Street here at the Magic Kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Take a good look at the steering wheel. You'll see the Epcot logo. Because remember those buses that used to go around the World Showcase?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Magic Kingdom needed a new omnibus.
Wow,
so
funny.
They repainted it, and it went from the future to turn of the century.
I miss those, too.
So thank you, Toby. Love to get emails on some of the little things we gloss over, because we know that not everyone gets all our references, but we also know that if we explained them all, the show would be even longer. So feel free to ask. And now it is time for
it got longer. It's like it told a lie.
Fanboys Disney myth of the day.
You know, you got a bigger budget.
So Doobie, what's the name of the place where the piano player plays at Disneyland?
That would be Coke Corner.
You are wrong. It is the Corner Cafe, hosted by your friends at Coca-Cola.
Really?
Yep, Coke Corner. That sounds like something that, you know, back in my Rebel days, you'd go there, you'd meet a guy that did not meet Disney look, and would engage in a transaction. Corner Cafe is where you can listen to ragtime music and get a hot dog.
And the ragtime music is played by the Coke Corner pianist. I'm quite sure of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is probably where the name comes from.
Touche.
Why, thank you for that clarification, and we look forward to more Disney myths next week.
Yay! Wow, I hope my theme song doesn't get any longer.
Oh, you just wait. We're adding lyrics.
Really?
No.
Oh. If you add lyrics, can there be a bouncing ball so I can sing along like a sing-along song? Do. But I don't know all the songs. Just follow the bouncing ball. And we can recycle that animation from Toot, Whistle, Plunk, and Boom over and over again.
And their bottoms are made out of string.
Touche. Podcast, thelaughingplace.com, 866-789-4008. Before we close today's edition of the LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Anybody got any final thoughts?
I do.
Well, then go ahead. The floor is yours.
Ed Greer, president of the Disneyland Resort, announced that Greg Emmer, senior vice president of, or executive, some level of vice president of the Disneyland Resort operations, is leaving the company after 40 years of service, starting off at Disneyland.
40 years of fun.
It's only just begun. Well, I guess an ending. I guess that's probably not the right lyric for that. He worked at Disneyland, came over to Walt Disney World, opened that project, went back to Disneyland with Matt Wiemet, and was now leaving the company. And I got a Greg story. One day I was walking through Disneyland, and I was walking by It's a Small World Promenade. And, you know, I don't work there or anything, and I saw a napkin on the ground, and it was very obvious. And so I went down, and I picked it up, and I threw it away. And next thing I know, I feel a hand over me, like, patting me on the back. And I'm like, this is kind of creepy. And then I turned around, and it was Greg Emmer, who I knew, but I'm guessing he didn't know that I knew, because I don't know how many guests know who Greg Emmer is, let alone Ed Greer. Or Matt Wiemet, as the case may be. But, yeah, probably shouldn't mention that.
We all knew who Cynthia was.
Yeah. Well, so, and he said, thank you very much for picking that up. I really appreciate it.
Aww.
And I went, oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, that's very nice.
Have a magical day.
That's a beautiful story. We're going to miss Greg. He's considered by Disney fans like us one of the good guys, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the white hats.
How about you, Rebecca? What you got?
Well, Doobie has a new TV addiction, and it's King of Queens. Oh, okay. Breaking news.
Breaking news. King of Queens is a pretty good show.
My husband...
Doobie!
My husband does not watch sitcoms in first run. He waits for them to reappear on TBS in syndication, and then forces me to watch them endlessly.
So, you may continue with your story.
Is it funny?
Well...
Did you call?
Very funny.
The other day, the Kevin James character decides that he wishes to be a bartender. And there he is, tending bar, and a guy comes up to him and says, I'd like a Bud Light. And Kevin is very disappointed at this because he tells the guy, I have over 16 beers from various nations available. To which the gentleman on the other side of the bar replies, wow, you're a regular Epcot Center.
Wow.
Which is funny because it's a Disney reference, and he's at Epcot Center.
I just found that so funny.
You know, it's funny because I was watching an episode of King of Queens the other day, and they went to a movie studio theme park, and they said, wow, you're a regular Disney MGM Studios. And I thought it was funny because he didn't say Disney's Hollywood Studios.
You're so disturbed.
Oh, Mr. 1600.
Whew. You need help.
So I... Utah Josh got engaged.
I know, that's so cool.
And then Fanboy over here shatters a myth on the name of that place where Rebecca and I got engaged.
Yep, Corner Cafe.
Coke Corner, despite what Fanboy says, is where Rebecca and I got engaged on August, blah, 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 1997. So just want to throw that out there. Congratulations again, Utah Josh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be very poetic if that's the same place?
Oh, yeah, let us know if it is. That's kind of weird.
I don't think so. I think it was the last I heard on the, I saw on the boards, I got the impression that he was hoping for a golden horseshoe moment. He was hoping to get the booth and have it be all pretty and maybe even part of the show. I don't know if that ended up happening. I just saw the post.
I saw Josh put in teeth.
Oh, his buck teeth.
His prosthetic.
Apparently, Rebecca stalks Utah Josh on the forums, apparently.
No, it was just such... It's so sweet when people get engaged.
I wonder... Because we got engaged at Coke Corner, probably not the most common place. I'm sure a bazillion people get engaged at
Which is why you took me over there that night. I thought I was going to get engaged over there, and then he didn't, and so I was grumpy.
Which is funny, because Grumpy and you are the same size at the Snow White Wishing Well.
And then... I'm sure a bunch of people get engaged at the Blue Bayou.
Oh, yeah, or in front of the castle.
I'm sure those that can at Club 33. In fact, we took some friends who got engaged at Club
33. They got engaged at Club 33.
That's right.
And then we knew another couple that got engaged at one of the character holiday meals. They had the character brought out the ring. That was very sweet. And
I want to hear Dolly's somebody dip. Who got engaged on a ride.
Hang on. You have to repeat that because we have to edit out Stupid Boy.
I want to hear about a story where somebody gets engaged on a ride.
What would be a good ride? Skyway.
Do you remember the time that guy was hiding like little clues all throughout that he made her go on like this treasure hunt and he had like little stuff like all throughout the park?
Do girls like that? Because I'd be like, why are you wasting my time? What do you want?
No. Some girls would like
that. What would be the best attraction now to get engaged on?
Now?
Now.
Haunted Mansion?
No.
Boy, you're
in the attic? Right in front of the
bride?
Exactly.
I do.
There aren't really any private moments.
But if you were on like Small World or whatnot in the boat, you have
or
a row to yourself.
But do you really want to get engaged in front of a bunch of
excuse me, what did you... Oh, I thought you were going to say in front of a bunch of other guests.
No,
100 people there.
No, a bunch of singing dolls. That's kind of freaky.
Well, if it was your favorite ride, that would work.
What about pirates?
Some people would like to do it on pirates because of that.
If you had your own boat.
There's certainly a certain segment that would appreciate getting engaged on pirates, like Captain John over there. But, I mean, in terms of traditional romance, like the Skyway to me...
Sword and a stone would be cool. Pull out the sword and there's
the
like...
The carousel.
Carousel, there's a good one.
That'd be nice.
The monorail doesn't particularly have very much...
Especially not that cramped Disneyland.
The Lily Bell.
Oh, the Mark Twain.
Yeah.
The Mark. Oh yeah.
The Jungle Cruise, maybe.
No. It's like, you know. Will you marry me, Mark Twain?
I will.
What about Tom Sawyer Island? What about Tom Sawyer Island?
Or Pirate's Lair, as the case may be.
The Treehouse of Pirates. Tom Sawyer Island, maybe.
What about the Treehouse?
The Treehouse? Yeah, Swiss Family Robinson. Tarzan's.
Disney
Tarzan's
Gallery,
not, Tarzan, not so much as Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Disney Gallery.
The Treehouse just seems odd to me. I mean, you get to be alone, but there's nothing romantic
Why
about the Treehouse.
Why do you keep talking about being alone? We must have had like 80 people when you proposed.
No, I'm just saying, that's the only positive I can see for it. There's no... I don't see any positive for the Treehouse.
Oh, okay. What about, like, just before parade time? Like, you're sitting there waiting for the parade to come just before Christmas.
Every day is a special day at the Magic Kingdom. Well,
actually, I saw a proposal at a Festival of the Lion King here.
Yeah.
And they had it all, like, set up. Everything.
See,
and
then, like, I know a place you could do it. Oh, you Atopia. And you put it on the big screen there, like they do at the baseball games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, those sound, I mean, those are great, but that just sounds like you're just trying to make it spectacle. I'm just thinking pure romance. Like mine. I mean, mine for you was somewhat of a spectacle. If I did that at the Wishing Well, that was romance.
Yeah. No, totally.
But I went for the spectacle. But if you're going for the romance.
With a dash of romance. Don't give yourself some credit.
Oh, no, we met there. It's not like
it
was
that's
just.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Come
There's
on.
There's a reason that you
You weren't just thirsty for a Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
you happened to be
we
there.
We met there. I planned it with Roddy. He played Someday My Prince Will Come For Me. It was. Yep. It was all set up.
My
for
family
you.
Was there.
Maybe for Rebecca, I don't know.
You had it all planned out. Yeah. I had no idea. And then our buddy John, he had collected pixie glitter from Light Magic or whatnot.
What about the train, the railroad?
I do think the train could be a good spot. Not between Tomorrowland and Main Street.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Please marry me.
I feel so bad. There's probably somebody who met there. It was like a romantic spot. And they got engaged there. And now we're mocking them.
Yes, we are. Because I'm sorry.
Well, there are people who mock us for getting married where we did. So.
Anyway, we've gone on long enough.
We've gone on long enough here
about engagements. If you got engaged at Disneyland, though, let us know. I want to know where. This is now on the top of my mind. There is a website for this stuff. Startedbyamouse.com has a section called "We Were Started by a Mouse Too," something like that, because they met at Disneyland, and so they asked people.
That's a people mover stories.
They asked people to send in the stories, their stories for people who met at Disney, and I'm sure plenty of those also got engaged there. So there you go, podcastlaughplace.com, 866-718-9408. Post a message on the discussion boards. Hope you'll be back with us next week. I pity the fool who isn't.